Hello and welcome to Inspired, your grown-up girl talk. I'm Stacey Fleece and once again have 30 minutes of shenanigans that you get to participate with us, co-hosted by Samantha Tredelius.
I love how you're entering in with a shenanigan because that is...
I know, it's a good word for today.
I actually did a little Women's Month post of you and I in our last 2 or 3 weeks of just supporting women. And we do have quite a bit of fun and it is quite nice to see you again on the screen. So
I know I'm back from 3 days of work travel, although I was in Santa Barbara. So It's not like it was a heavy lift.
Doesn't work count.
Travel. Like Santa Barbara is a nice place to visit, even if you're just working the whole time. It was still fun. And the one fun activity we got to do was axe throwing, which we did after dinner one night. And I, of course, in uniform, black head to toe with some nice, 3 to 4 inch heels on.
Great.
And I'm in there and it's all guys in there and like me, and I'm in there throwing axes in my heels. And I was there for it.
You know what? I'm there for it. And I'm also here for our guest today because she's, a kindred spirit. So let's get into it.
I know she's all about the heels. We're going to talk about that because there is some power in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we all feel that. So today we have with us Jen Sugarmeyer, Jen, founder and CEO of Atta Cosmetics, but so much more in the journey that led up to that. We do want to talk about Atta Cosmetics, but you've got so much behind it that I think is super cool. So first of all, thank you for being here and thank you for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm here for it too, the shenanigans and all.
Yes, ma'am.
Careful what you sign up for, girl.
She doesn't know what she's getting into yet. So again, we've talked about this with so many women, and I think it's so thematic over the years, the meandering journey we all take in our careers and in our lives, that so many of us, a high majority of us, are not linear. And while you have this now amazing cosmetic company, you started in a extremely successful career in IT leadership, not a position we see a lot of women in.
Right.
So I kind of want to start there. Like, how did that happen? How did Texas girl goes IT, security clearance, the whole thing. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And even backing up, I have a degree in criminal justice, and it all just things just kind of, how did I get to where I am? And honestly, I think that's that happens to a lot of us. And we just say, like, how did I end up here? And I think some of it sometimes, maybe your boss is just asking you to do something new in your career, and you just start moving along a journey and you're not even really thinking about the steps because you haven't planned through it. And so truthfully, I never planned any of that. I found IT. I had a top secret clearance. I was working down at Department of State and I was working on $100 million project down there. And I learned very quickly that I think a lot of people in the IT space just wanted somebody to make a, just to give them guidance. And I was real happy with giving direction. And so that's where the IT started. And it just kind of propelled from there. And I ended up in Afghanistan and I was working there for a while.
Hey, don't gloss over that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that feels like a big part of anyone's journey. I've never been to Afghanistan and I don't think it's on my travel list.
Afghanistan, but I'd like to know how you just end up in Afghanistan.
Okay. So I'm from Northern Virginia. So right outside DC. So I spent 30 years of my life there, and it's not too, well, I should say at the time, because we're not in Afghanistan anymore, but it wasn't too unusual. So this was back in, I was there in 2010, 2011. At the time, if you had a top secret clearance and you just happened to know people, there was an opportunity. And so it's funny, Samantha, you say like that wouldn't be on my travel list. That was actually a lot of the driver for me, because I've traveled to 50 countries. I love seeing what's out there and just experiencing new things. And I was like, I will never get to Afghanistan unless I do this. So it was kind of like, tell me I can't go somewhere, and then that's where I want to be, or tell me I can't, and then I'll prove it. Right. And so I'm just sort of wired that way. So I think there was an element of, ooh, I can't be there, so I want to get there. I can't travel there, so I found another way. So yeah, so that's how I ended up there. And I was working for Department of Defense, and then I started working for Department of State while I was over there. And I was there when they caught Osama bin Laden, and I knew some of the people.
Oh, come on.
Did the biometrics. Yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, I remember when and exactly where I was and the whole day. And I was standing in the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, and I was standing next to an Afghan, and we walked in, and I knew something was going on because in the chow hall, like it was just, you could just feel something in the air. And I got into the office and I looked up on the screen, and then I looked down at this Afghan and he just looked up at me and we were like, oh my gosh. And I will never forget that moment. It was just so incredible just being where I was and all of that. But yeah, so that was my life for a long time. And I don't know. It's hard to say, like, how did I get, I didn't plan any of that. I mean, there were things that I certainly liked and I would shine more in those areas. And I think that maybe my bosses would see that, but I do think that I kind of went on this journey of where did my boss see me? And all I knew is that I wanted to just rise to the top. But what that looked like, I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't plan that. I was just pushing, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Like, yeah. So I end up, I had a very successful career. I was reporting to the chief information officer, which is the highest, you know, position that you can have in IT. And I was leading these global teams, and I just continued to feel something internally that just wasn't connecting. It was, you know, how did I get here? This isn't fulfilling my life purpose. And, you know, and I have a whole personal journey that was going on along behind the scenes as well. And so there was just a lot of conflict that was happening. The more I rose, the more I got into my career, and the more I felt like, well, who am I? What am I doing here? Why am I pushing? How did this happen? Even though there was financial success and, you know, on a resume, it looked good. But I was like, who am I? I think I got there.
What do you think? Okay. What was the tipping point? Was it the personal journey going on behind you that just overtook this career journey that you were like, I don't even know what I'm fucking doing here at this point?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
At what point does one win out? Right.
So my personal journey. So I'm in recovery. So I've been sober for 6 years and
that's a big deal. Congratulations.
Yeah. And it took me 10 years to get sober. So this wasn't like I made a decision one day and it stuck. This was a decision that I made 365 days a year for 10 years and it never stuck. Right. And so finally the stars aligned and that's a little bit longer of a story, but you know, I was so miserable with who I was. And I think that the tricky thing about, I always considered myself a functioning alcoholic. And I think one of the tricky things is that you're still able to accomplish a lot of things from 9 to 5. And then it's a disaster after hours. And I mean, my unmanageability, and this is a very true story. I mean, I've been arrested more than once and I've practiced for speeches for the CEO in jail. So if you want to talk about like your life.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yeah. Yeah. I've practiced for speeches for the CEO in jail. Right. Because I got to get out the next day. I've got to give a speech at like 1 p.m. Right.
Like I'm not envisioning a lot of people are passing jail time that well.
Right. No. And the other thing I would do, because again, this wasn't just a one time thing. I mean, I'm not proud about it. It just is what it is. But, you know, I would start working out in the morning, like after I like woke up and was like, oh no, you like this again. Right. I would start working out. So they'd be like, all right, she's sober. Right. She's not drunk anymore. We can let her out of the drunk tank. Right. So yeah, I mean, it was that's all not okay. Like your life is out of control if you do these things and that I was doing. And it was,
I would agree with that statement. It's not, although you were being very conscious about your decisions on how to get back to where you needed to be. Like the effort is solid.
Yeah. 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 No, thanks. And I think I was always that way in life. Like even as a teenager, I'm like, all right, I can go have fun, but I got to get good grades. You know, like I cared about the things that were going to keep me on a track, but like the stuff I didn't want you to see, I was also really good about making a whole big mess out of that. So
yeah, that's the functioning piece, right?
So yeah, here's the part that I dig about you, because you're a woman that's got a lot of different parts to her, you know, now a business owner, which we're going to talk about, a very cool past life. And also a little bit of, you know, personal trauma in between with, you know, your recovery and what it took to get there. One of the things that is very cool is that you write a lot. You're very involved with writing articles for different publications. Tell us a little bit about that. Cause that's a big it's hard to put your personal shit out there, right? And especially this kind of stuff. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I actually, when I first started, I was going to use an alias because I was afraid, right? I was afraid to put my name out there while I was in corporate because I didn't want to lose my job, all this stuff that I had worked on for so long. But I also really enjoyed writing, and that was just a passion that I always had. And I have a journal from when I was 20, and it says write a book, you know, and I've always wanted to write a book. And I've since written three, but after I got sober, I told myself, no big changes for a year. Don't do anything. Just focus on yourself. Don't change your job. Don't change. And this is where things started to click for me in terms of my life. So I get sober back in 2018 and I'm just focusing on myself, and I'm very methodical about things, and I'm analyzing, and I'm like, why am I so angry about certain things? Why can't I let go of control on certain things? Like, and I started to really assess the mind and how my mind was processing things. And then after a number of months, I thought, man, I'm going to start writing a book on my 1 year sobriety date. And that's what I did. And so that was my first book, and it's called Reset. And it's a whole methodology of just how to hit the reset button on your life. And it's, you know, recognize, eliminate, structure, elevate, and transform. And so with those five steps, you can change your life. And then I wrote a book on boundaries and then a book on confidence. But I felt that it was a way that I could leave a legacy, right? And so that was one. But I think also when you write, and if it's even just in a journal, you become very clear on what your position is on something. So we could have a discussion on boundaries, for example, right? But to be real clear, sometimes it's helpful to just kind of see things on paper, because there's just that's such a massive topic. I wrote a book and I was like, man, I barely scratched the surface. I could do a whole like thing, you know, just like a whole, like 10 books on it. So I think, you know, writing, it really helps people become clear on what their position is. So that's how I got into it. It was a passion that I had. I wanted to leave a legacy. I wanted to help. I wanted to heal through it as well. And I knew that was going to happen. So yeah. So I write for Recovery Today magazine. I write for Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. My last book came out, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago, something like that. So yeah, it's just
so maybe you're due for number four.
Maybe number four is coming.
I actually love that you didn't write under an alias. And Samantha, this takes me back a little bit to Viola Davis's statement at the conference, where she said, you know, we as women are so often taught to leave our shit at the door and just walk in kind of, you know, without that, the baggage, for lack of a better word. But I think that baggage kind of makes us entirely who we are, right? So bringing those experiences and putting your name on them, like, I think I could read all three of those books. I could use all three of those things. I think it is part of your journey on how you got here.
You know, what I realized in going through the process, and I actually remember exactly where I was when I changed my Instagram name from, I don't know, Jay Sug or whatever, to what my name, Jen Sugarmeyer. Like, you can't hold anything against me that I've already shared. So if you're like, yeah, but you know what? You've been arrested. And I'm like, okay, well, you should go hear me on any platform writing about it, talking like, so what, you know what, like, you know what I mean? So I think when you like we hold our own selves back, and it's like, we're worried about that judgment, but we almost create that judgment because we're like, okay, that's the thing I don't want you to know. When you just release it out into the world, you ain't got nothing on me. Like, that's good. If you're stuck in the past, I'm sorry for you. Like, I'm living in the present. I'm moving forward. So you want to come at me with that? I already shared that. I'm moved on.
But it's also the transparency level too, because it's, you know, it's one thing to find yourself and go on these journeys that people talk about, but then not really get into the nitty gritty of like what it took to get to this place. And it wasn't probably, you know, super glamorous or very wonderful. I mean, I'm sure it was some real tough shit you had to go through to become who you are right now. And there are a lot of people going through similar situations all over, women all over, that, you know, definitely probably could hear your story and go, yeah, like, okay, like, if she can do it, I can do it. And I think if you just touch that one person, I mean, it's all worth it.
Totally. Totally.
And the people that talk shit, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. It's
at some point we do have to stop caring. Okay. So then all of this experience, life experience, personal experience, work, whatever, Then you decide, hey, you know what I haven't done? I haven't founded a company and become CEO of an amazing cosmetics company. So let me do that. Like, what?
That was a big leap. And that was one of those that I was like, how do I update my LinkedIn? Right. You
know, which is like, totally a different plot, like totally different.
Right turn.
Like people were like, I knew how to refer you before, but I'm not really understanding how to, right? So here's where it was. I knew that I wanted to leave corporate. And this was before anything cosmetics related started. And so I was planning my exit and I had consolidated my life and all that. And then COVID happened and I was like, wow, that was great. Cause I positioned real well, you know, and I got laid off from my corporate job. And literally it was so crazy. I've never brought a backpack into the office before, but I did that day because I sold a couple things on one of those like Craigslist sites or whatever. So I was like, meet me on my job. Anyways, I got laid off and as they're bringing me a box and I'm like, look, I don't have pride, but like, I'm not walking out of this damn office with a box, right? They also handed me my backpack and I was like, get out of here. So, and everything fit right in my backpack. It was like,
it's kind of meant to be.
Totally. Like I totally believe all the things. And I said, I was like, all right, God, you and me, we got this. Like, I'm going to do this. And so I went on this journey and I started, you know, I was writing more books and I was doing some speaking, which is a little fringe of speaking and coaching. And I was doing that during COVID, like when it first started, but you know, people weren't spending a whole lot of money on speakers and that kind of stuff. And so I was kind of, you know, moving in that direction and doing some stuff. And then I saw this lady and she went live on Instagram and she put a spoon on her face and she was doing her makeup. And I said, what is this? And it was not a cosmetics discussion. It was like something business. I found her on Clubhouse. You remember Clubhouse? Like,
yeah. Oh my God. That was hot for like a minute.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. So it was like one of these girls who was like always the top talker or whatever. I didn't even like her. I unfollowed her. I don't remember her name, but I was listening to her. I was watching her. She was putting her makeup on with a spoon. So I went and I grabbed a spoon. Like I was like, oh, here's one right out of the silverware drawer. This is amazing. And it felt so cool under my eyes. And I loved the experience. And I thought I was doing that for like a week. And I thought, well, this is too weird. You know, people are going to come to my house and think I'm, you know, off alcohol and onto something else, right?
She's off the rails.
Right? She's on the spoon. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's like a spoon next to my sink. Like, what's this? Oh, I put my makeup on with it. Mm-hmm. You know? So I was thinking about it though. I had just bought my sister this jade roller. And I'm like, what if you applied makeup with jade and it looked like a spoon? And so that's where my idea started. So this was back in 2001 and I started 3D modeling and playing around and doing all my R&D, my research and development. And a couple years later, granted the patent and I'm off to the races with Atta Cosmetics. And our signature product is the Jade Applicator. And that's what it's all about. And we're out to disrupt the entire industry because there's no more brushes, no more sponges, no more fingers. You can literally put every piece of liquid product on your face with this Jade Applicator. So yeah, that's how that leap happened. I did not plan that at all. And it is so, I'm used to working with all men and now I don't. So it's like a whole nother world.
So, and I do want to talk about the name Atta Cosmetics because Atta is also stands for attitude, thoughts, and actions. And this feels to me like something that maybe came out of the recovery.
So my journey of that 1 year journey, I mean, and personal development is an everyday thing. It's like a bath. You don't just say, oh, like I took one bath like once. Like you gotta rinse and repeat every day. You know what I mean?
Gotta take a bath every day, guys. Or every couple days.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
Yeah. I mean, it's good practice to have, right? Teeth too. And so I went on this journey and it was so intense that first year. And then I tapped into the power of the mind and I was so intrigued. And I'm like, wow, it's just as Henry Ford says, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And it is all in just mindset. And the thing is, And I had led my entire life that no matter what was going on, you know, if somebody cut me off in traffic, I'd just be like, bah, you know, and I'd say things and I'd get really angry. And I used to drive a big truck and I would try to like cut them off or, you know what I mean? Like I would just react to like whatever was going on in the world, like who became president or who, you know, the stock market, like all these things literally that I don't control. And I learned an important thing through that journey. And that's you control only three things: attitude, thoughts, and actions. That's it. I can't control that driver that cut me off, but I can control how I react. I can control my thoughts. I control my actions. I don't have to cut that person off. I don't have to swear at them. I don't have to have a bad attitude about it. I can literally just be at peace.
I think if everyone could just learn those three items,
yeah,
the world would potentially be a much better place.
Yeah, this acronym needs further reach. Meta company.
Yeah.
I love that we started there though.
Well, and that's the whole premise. So as I was on my journey of, all right, I got this. I'm going to get out into the world. And because I love speaking, put me on a stage, give me a topic. I love it. Right. But what I realized very quickly is that people are willing to invest in tangible things. And so they can say, this is $5. This is $100. This is $1,000. But when you say, hey, what's happiness worth to you? They're like, ain't paying for it, not doing it. Right. And they don't invest in themselves. So at a cosmetics, as I was like, oh, I love this idea. And as I was playing around with what's the impact that I want to make? What am I passionate about? What do I want to do? I said, what if I could put the tangible, like a cosmetics product, and I combined that with the intangible, this idea of happiness and elevating your life and living your best life and having a good experience. What if I could like mix those somehow? And that's where Atta Cosmetics came from, is because it's more than just a product. And, you know, we're growing, right? There's going to be a lot more, but that's what I want. I want to reach people in a way that they go, okay, I add a attitude, thoughts, actions, and that just resonates with them. And it'll take time for that to get out, but that's at the core what this is all about. It's just reaching people in a tangible way.
I dig it. I love it. So I always like to go in for the what's the hardest part of the journey question. So coming from a corporate IT, you know, I'm in Afghanistan world to now here, I've got a product that I've had to create. I've got a patent. I've had to figure out how to manufacture it and figure out how to sell it. Like, what's been the hardest part of what you're doing? Like, and the shift?
Yeah, I'm realizing it's been nice that I was in corporate my entire career and I was able to see all these different departments and everything. And now I'm kind of learning maybe the science or the psychology behind each one of them and why people really succeed in certain areas. I have this like point of exit of where my ADD kicks in, or I'm just like, I'm kind of uncomfortable, and I am in those phases now. And so this has been really a tough thing. Like I said, I've written books, but I'm not on any New York Times bestseller. I like creating, I like putting it out there. And then I like going and building the next thing. Right. And I can't do that with this company. I have to continue the process, which means sales and networking and all that. And that's not, I love people. I love talking about the product, but there's a difference between an opener and a closer. I'm learning that. I didn't know even what that meant before, you know, getting in front of somebody versus closing. And so I am being challenged in a way that I never had to when I was in my corporate job, maybe sitting behind a desk and maybe working with people in some capacity. But like, I have to push myself through those areas that I usually just exit at. And because I can't do that, because this will never succeed. So that's my hardest part in full transparency.
You know what the best part of that question and answer was that you knew exactly what the answer was. And it's always a good sign of a good leader and a good boss is somebody that could very quickly respond. Because if you think that you've got it all figured out and you think that you don't have any faults, you're not doing something right, in my opinion, because all of this journey that you're going through right now is really what it's about. And if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
I tell myself that all the time because there are just days where I'm like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah. And Stacey, what do we always say about getting uncomfortable?
Yeah, we, you know, we love the saying, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's where the growth is, right? But if I'm being honest, it sucks in when you're in it. Like, I don't fucking like it.
I get it.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
I talk about that because I'm 6'1" and I grew like half a foot in 2 years. And so when they talk about growing.
Come on, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
How old were you when you grew half a foot in 2 years?
I was in junior high. So when I entered high school, I was 5'11". And I mean, that's 14 in Virginia, Northern Virginia.
How many basketball teams did you get recruited to?
There were a number that were talking to me. And I tell you what, I pushed them all away. And it's because I was only average and I hated the reaction. People were like, wah, wah. You know? Well, that didn't feel good. So I found alternative, you know. I come from a musical family, but yeah, I didn't like the reaction. So I really pushed sports away. So I'm not a sporty person, but yeah, I mean, it was painful to go through. And so, I mean, I understand very intimately what growing pains feel like from a physical body. And you're right. You know, you can't get to the other side. You don't get to be tall or you don't become the butterfly or you don't build the business without all that uncomfortable feeling. So you're right. You have to get used to that.
And own it, right? Because a lot of people don't own it or they don't talk about it. Or when, you know, they do talk about it, they kind of forget the real juicy stuff. That's the really big parts that help to make a good leader. And so kudos to you for being, you know, open about it and sharing your story with us. What's been the favorite part about this, like this journey? Is it having the freedom to kind of create and do what you want? Is it, you know, those late nights that you get no sleep? I mean, what is it?
Oh, I'm sure it's the late nights with no sleep. Like, who fucking doesn't love that shit?
I was going to say, I mean, like some kind of masochist with that one. So it's the feedback, the impact that I've been able to make. And so there are moms that have said, like, this one lady, she said, I have 5 kids, 3 of them have COVID. And, you know, it is so intense in my house right now. And the Jade applicator is the only thing that's given me 30 seconds of peace. And it just feels so good and luxurious. And you're like, man. Then I have another person that tells me that they've been suffering from all these like just nasal issues, you know, between allergies and whatever. And then, and because you're able to do a proper lymphatic drainage, she was able to breathe for like the first time in a week and she woke up and it wasn't so intense. And like these success stories of people feeling luxurious or just having that spa-like experience when their life seems insane or being able to breathe, you know, or giving their clients an elevated experience, however they're using it, it's those stories that keep me going. So not the late nights, but more the impact. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I love you. And I'm just so excited that we got to connect and get to know this incredible person that you are. I mean, you've had the journey of several different lives, I feel like. And I feel that these stories and what you're able to kind of show, there is light at the end of the tunnel for those that are feeling that they're in a dark place, because look at what you've created. And, you know, this cosmetic line, I think, is something that we will all be keeping an eye on. We hope that everybody gets out there this week and is inspired.